Good morning.
Morning.
Good to be with you as always this Sunday morning, and we gather for worship. One or two intimations and notices to give you before we begin today. First of all, as you may have noticed looking at the screens, it's the beginning of Christian Aid Week, and all being well, we have a video to show you during the worship this morning. Also to point out that you should hopefully have somewhere in front of you or nearby you an envelope, and you're invited to take this away, and this week or next week there is a bucket at the vestibule, and Campbell Joss has asked just to simply say you can put whatever you wish to put in the envelope and put that in the bucket either at the end of the service this week or indeed next week. I think we might be doing it the following week as well, yes, so you've got a couple of weeks to do that. Second thing is to intimate that because of the current situation with restrictions, there will be a ballot being sent out to members of the church in just over 2 weeks' time. The Kirk Session are looking at changing the constitution of the church from what's called the model constitution to the unitary constitution. To explain that, what that basically means is all the business of the church would fall under the jurisdiction of the Kirk Session. Under normal circumstances, the congregation would be invited to, you know, wait behind at the annual meeting, and a vote like that would be taken by a show of hands at the annual meeting. But because of the current restrictions, and we're not allowed to hold an annual meeting, a ballot will be sent out. That involves quite a lot of work and effort, which is being done. And every member of the church and people on the list of adherents will receive a ballot paper and an explanation sheet, I will add, in the week that the last week of this month. So this is being intimated today, and it will be intimated again next week in order that the ballot can go out that week. If there's any more information you wish on that, you know, please either ask myself at the door today, or you could ask the session clerk in due course. The other piece of news I have to give you today, many of you will know this by now. My day job, if you like, is working for the Presbytery of Glasgow. And as from a week tomorrow, my day job's changing a wee bit, and I'm having to do more work for the Presbytery. So this is the last week in which I will be doing what's called a somber note from the organist at that news. This is the last week I'll be able to work during the week for BVP. So the interim moderator knows that, and he's tasked with solving that situation, although I can hang on and do a wee bit of work during the week if need be for a wee while. But I will be pleased to help you out and carry on leading Sunday worship. I certainly wouldn't leave you stranded. So I would look forward to leading Sunday worship until the summer anyway. And it's up to the session and then to the moderator what you do in the longer term. But I've enjoyed being here, and I would quite like to help you out for a little bit longer if we can. So no change, God willing, to the Sunday worship here at BVP at the moment anyway. So, having given you these notices, we gather for worship. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's come together to pray. Let's pray. Lord God, in this Christian Aid Week, as we remember that you came to turn the world upside down, to scatter the proud, to bring down the powerful, and to lift up the lowly, to fill the hungry with good things, for the dawn of your kingdom, and all who work towards its fulfillment, we come today to praise you. As we remember that you came to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release for the captives and the recovery of sight for the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. For the dawn of your kingdom, and all who work towards its fulfillment, we come today to praise you. Yet as we think these things in our minds, it is easy for them to shoot off in many directions. We find it hard to slow down, to remove all the clutter and concentrate on you, Lord. In the stillness of this place, this time, take from us the strain and stress as we feel ourselves rest in your eternal love, in the everlasting arms. Then quietly, the small beginnings of praise well up as we remember what we have in Jesus Christ. That we have one who is with us, who guides and strengthens us, who holds us through every storm of life, who leads us to life everlasting. We confess that sometimes the storms we endure are of our own making. A foolish word, a thoughtless comment, a misguided action, or a quick judgment. And then we have to live with the consequences and the guilt. Lord, take all that strain and stress from us and replace it with your forgiveness and peace. Heavenly Father, in your hands we are safe and secure. We rejoice in your eternal love and all-sufficient grace. So as we journey on in our lives as disciples of you, strengthen us through your Holy Spirit. Allow us to be strong enough to turn from what light might lead us astray from this path, but keep us right, carrying on our lives to know you and to glorify you in all we do, so that your kingdom continues to grow and our understanding of your love grows too. And we ask this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, just before we have our age thought for today, to contribute to Christian Aid and continue to pray for the work of Christian Aid as they make life-changing decisions and support projects that can help people all all over the world. Just to move on to our wee thought for today, and I have with me a few sheets of paper. Now, the thought this morning, we have four purses here. We've got a picture of a purse that has £40 written on it. So imagine if somebody came in and they were giving to the offering this morning and they put £40 in the offering plate. We might think that's a lot of money, wouldn't we? And then the next person that came in didn't feel so wealthy, so they only brought in £1. So they've put £1 in the offering plate. And then the next person came along and they felt not so great that day. And they'd opened their purse and there wasn't a lot. So they only put 50p in the offering plate. And then the next person was really struggling that day. And they only put 2p in the offering plate. So anybody judging what was going on might think that the person that put £40 in the offering plate knew a bit more about what to do and what was right for church and to be generous. And you would think, wouldn't you, that put the most money in the offering plate was being the most generous. But of course, we know that's not the case. It all depends what you can give, and Jesus calls on us to try and give sacrificially and give what we can to the church, not just give what suits us at times. And I was reminded of the message it has at Luke chapter 21. It says, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she contributed out of the poverty, put in all she had to live on. So it's not just about what we put in, it's about what we can put in. And we're called upon not just to give our time and give our talents, but to give a contribution of our money to the work of the church. And we know that we're blessed and sustained through God. So just a simple message there, that it's not what we give, it's what we can give and what we're willing to give out of what we have, and just trust Jesus to bless us with every good thing. And when we see videos like that this morning, we're just so much more aware of how blessed we are. And even in our difficult times, we're so blessed in comparison to what people have in other parts of the world. So just a wee thought there. Anyway, time to move on. And I think we're on to doing the Bible reading next. And we're going to move on in our study of Luke chapter 5. And Robert is going to come and read scripture.
This morning's reading is from the New Testament, the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 5, commencing at verse 12 and reading down to verse 20. The heading is The Man with Leprosy. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We have another heading, Jesus heals a paralytic, verse 17. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat, and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." And the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Thank you.
Thanks for reading that for us, Robert. Just before the sermon, take some time to listen to a piece of music, this time Before the Throne of God Above. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you with our hearts open and our Bibles open, and we seek to understand your word, your message for us. So Lord, as we go over these verses today, we pray that your Spirit would dwell upon us, that you would show us ourselves and show us our Saviour. Amen. Well, it's good to be here as always. It's actually better today because I was almost not here. There was a risk that at the end of this week that I would have to self-isolate because children at my daughter's school were coming down with COVID, but thankfully our fears haven't come to pass and I can get on as normal. An issue of self-isolation is one that we've heard so much about this last year, isn't it? If you or someone in your family has symptoms, stay at home and self-isolate, as Jason Leach keeps telling us. So after the year we've had, these phrases seem to be that bit closer to us as we indeed stop and think about how lucky we are to be able to come out and to worship. Today I want to look at this passage where Jesus meets the man suffering from leprosy. And although we've heard these words many, many times, probably we've heard these readings many times, we all know what the word leprosy means, and it's a word that we don't want to hear. And it's been that way for a long time. And added to the story that follows it, we find out what happens when we have the faith that Jesus can actually heal us. Well, the word leprosy can mean a number of conditions, And at its most severe, it's a neurological disorder that numbs all sensitivity to pain and leaves your body disfigured. It's been described as a living death. You know, at that time, a leper had to live in isolation. It was a health issue, though the Old Testament deals with it too. A leper had to wear torn clothes, let their hair grow long, cover his upper lip, and cry out the words, unclean, unclean. When we stop and think about it, we can only imagine how someone with leprosy felt. They couldn't just stay at home doing the self-isolation thing. They didn't have their family isolating with them. The Tesco delivery man didn't bring them any food when they couldn't go out shopping. And the Amazon man didn't leave anything on the doorstep. They weren't even a second-class citizen. As an outcast, they only got food when someone threw it to them from a distance. In fact, these laws were given in the Torah. In Leviticus, where we read, the leper shall live alone, his dwelling shall be outside the camp. He would remain unclean as long as he had the disease. So why then do we look at this encounter, and what does it mean for us? And the answer is that back then, people thought that leprosy was a curse from God against sin. We know better than that now, but this would be why the man came to Jesus. Remember, at this time, Jesus has called these first disciples to follow him. And now, as he walks through a town in Galilee, here this man comes to him. If we stop and we try and picture this, this man who's meant to be kept at a distance outside the town, right through the streets, people running to get out of the way, shouting at him to get back out of the town to his place of isolation. They would have been shocked that the man had come anywhere near the town. But he comes to plead to this man Jesus, whom by now he'd heard about, and how this man Jesus could do miraculous things. So he comes to Jesus, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The man knew that he needed healing, and he knew that Jesus could heal him, but he knew that it was up to Jesus. Lord, if you are willing. And then Jesus does something amazing. He actually touches the man. Nobody ever touched a leper. And for the people who were shocked that this man had come into town and fell in front of Jesus, now they see Jesus actually touching him. They would have been shocked and appalled. But Jesus says, I am willing. Be clean. So what's really happening in this story? And how does it affect us too? Well, firstly, we all need to go to Jesus because we go to him for grace. Here, this man knows he needs saving, and we need to go and ask Jesus for his grace. And then we see what happened to this man from Jesus to show the extraordinary thing that God can do because Jesus touches the man. The thing is, if something clean touches something unclean, then both things end up unclean, yeah? But here, it's the opposite. It's Jesus who can make the other man clean. So when this encounter takes place, both end up clean. The unclean is reversed. And that's why there's a relevance for us. We may not have something as terrible as leprosy, but it's that usual sense of sinfulness, our nature. That's what needs to be made clean. And the touch of forgiveness from Jesus is what can do that. We aren't disfigured, but our whole being isn't maybe just what it could be. Here's what Paul once said when he was writing to the Romans. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? I don't think Paul was having a great day when he wrote that. Nevertheless, he knew the solution when he said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we have that reassurance too. And it's that special word, atonement. And we often struggle to know what atonement means. But here, it's very real. Our sins, the things that make us impure inside, they're removed, they're wiped clean. And that's by Jesus, because he died on the cross. But when he did so, he wasn't paying for his own impurities. He was paying for ours. And that's why we have to see Jesus as truly the Son of God. If Jesus was just a prophet, if he was just a wise man, his death wouldn't have made a difference. But the thing is, here's the question, why does Jesus bother to touch the man? He's holy God, part of the Trinity, God in three persons, the Saviour, he's the miracle worker. Why didn't Jesus just say, good for you for coming into town today knowing that I've got this saving power. Be blessed for your faith and be healed. He could just have said that, couldn't he? He could just have spoken the words, that would have done the trick. So why does he bother to touch this unclean man? Is it just to show how he makes things clean from unclean? That Jesus is so immune of disease because of who he is? Or is it much more than that? There's something more from Jesus, who is holy God, because Jesus is also holy man. He is sinless because he's God, but he's a man. He's one of us. He's our friend. When Jesus touches the man, that touch gives the man a value and a worth that he just wouldn't have had otherwise. Yes, there is this image that a touch from Jesus can heal us, but the touch here is much more than that. In a sense, it's like a befriending. It's the man being brought back into society. You know, we can think of Jesus as Lord and King, but sometimes we just need to remember that Jesus is our friend. And this image shows us his humanity. To be able to put his arm around our shoulders too when we're suffering, when we need healing for something we've done, when we need to know that God is not just some abstract thought out in a vast universe. That's when we need to have the touch of love. You know, I was reading in one of my Bible notes about somebody who was struggling. And of course, somebody turned around and said, oh, Jesus loves you. And they said, I know that, but I just wish you'd give me a hug every now and then. In this story, Jesus puts his arm around us and brings us back into the family of God. And that leads us to the second miracle we heard about today. The paralytic man who's told his sins are forgiven. Why does Jesus tell him his sins are forgiven? Why doesn't he just say, I am willing to heal you, as he said to the leper? Jesus says he's going to forgive the man his sins because Jesus knew the faith he had. So here Jesus right away tells him that his sins are forgiven. Never mind his inability to walk. Firstly, Jesus forgives him his sin, because at the end of the day, that's what's most important. Now, it's because the Pharisees state that only God can forgive sins that Jesus acts. He does what only God can do. So he tells the man to get up and walk. Jesus has the power to do both things, and that's what he shows. But there's also the fact that at that time, people in that society thought that illness was because of something they'd done. And that's why Jesus did what he did. He showed them that illness and disease was nothing whatsoever to do with sin. He deals with both these things separately. And that's something we have to keep stating. People will say, it must be because of something I've done. It's not. I heard that so much when I worked as a hospital chaplain. Let's repeat that again. The illness is not because of something the man has done. And we are the same. Painful things can happen to good people. So to close, let's think what this should tell us all. This isn't just about Jesus doing some miraculous deeds. These people had a need, and we all have a need. We all want to feel accepted, and we all want to feel that Jesus loves us and accepts us too. And we don't want to feel that if something goes wrong in life, it's a punishment. But just as these men went to Jesus with a need, we must also see our own need. And that's not necessarily disease, but our own unease with our lives. That's what we need to put right. And so that's why this gospel is important. People wonder why we can't just do a commentary about good living and spend our life working for good causes. It's so much more vital how we understand how we are put right with God. And it's that bit about making ourselves be put right with God. It's that word, atonement. That's what Jesus does. He atones. We were apart from God, but Jesus atones and he heals. And then we're restored to that right place with God because we're forgiven. So this morning, if you feel down, if you feel there are issues that need healing, then we pray that these will pass, that they can be mended. But remember what Jesus has actually done for you. That healing power he has to take us from a place where we were separated from God, but Jesus atones and everything changes. Four words. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. That's worth being thankful for, because it's the greatest miracle we can ever get, the greatest healing we can ever get. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like we his praise should sing? Amen. Strangely enough, let's listen to that hymn that we can find at number 160. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. let's come to the Lord with our prayers for others. Let's pray. God of abundant life, we see your goodness all around us and we thank you for every part of it. From the plants and animals which play their part in complex ecosystems, to the dry deserts and stormy seas which test the limits of life. We pray that in this time of climate crisis, an ecological emergency, you may help us to rediscover your love of creation and to reflect that in our own lives. So God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You are the God who speaks through unexpected people, and we thank you for contemporary prophets who are challenging us to act on climate change, for Indigenous people and their invaluable knowledge of the land and sea where they live, and for scientists dedicating their careers to warning us about changes to our planet. So in this Christian Aid Week, we pray that you will help us support those in power to hear prophetic voices. Help them to see beyond short-term political priorities and business plans. Give them courage and wisdom when they face difficult decisions. So God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of second chances, we recognise the damage we have done to the earth and the injustice we see in society every day, fuelled by worship of profit and possessions. So in this Christian Aid Week, we pray for the coming of a better world, with justice and kindness and humility at its heart. We ask that you guide us to be co-creators of this new world. Give us confidence to follow the prophetic voices, to stand against injustice to people and to planet, so that together in your strength we stop this climate crisis. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. But Lord, before we finish, we bring you our thoughts on those nearer us, our loved ones, our families, our friends, those facing their own struggles. Ever-present Lord, be with them. Strengthen them. Bless them with your love and spirit. So, Lord, today we bring these prayers for our own lives and for those across your world. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Our final piece of music this morning, number 718, We Cannot Measure How You Heal. As we turn to dedicate our offering, let's pray. Great God, who makes the sun to rise and opens the heavens, hear the cry of the people who sow in rain, in hope, but reap only despair. Hear the cry of the people. Seeking shelter from the storm, their hopes and homes submerged, hear the cry of the people. Queen creation is hitting back with rage and resistance. Give us hope. Grant us salvation. Give us a new relationship with creation, with reverence to tend this gift from you and to say once again of the earth and all you created that it is good. So Lord, bless all we can offer this Christian Aid Week, and bless these offerings we bring you today for the wider work of building your kingdom, that your work and your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, may the grace, mercy, and peace of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and those you love now and evermore. Amen.